Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is a gift? A gift should be free, no strings attached. A gift isn't earned. It isn't something for which you exchange something, usually, like your hard work or some other possession that you have worked for, some other thing that you own. And we've probably all received good gifts. And then there are the gifts that may not have been as helpful. Perhaps someone didn't know you so well and gave you an item for which you didn't really have a use. And then there are the people who know you, who know what you need and know what you enjoy and give you good gifts. In our Old Testament reading for today, our Lord gives many gifts. Many things that He gives here at the beginning of the world, at the creation. And there's a great deal to say about all of these gifts. And we will recount today what those gifts are, what our Lord has given, and what He finally gave when we perverted His gifts, misused His gifts, and wanted something else. When we coveted something other than the good gifts that He has given and wanted something different. When we failed to trust Him to be the good giver, the best giver of all. Well, first we see that our Lord makes the entire world, a world of variety and beauty for us to live in. And then He makes us. He says, "Let us make man in our own image." The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, makes man in His own image. And the very fact that He made us, that He gave us life, that He chose to make us, not because He was compelled to or had to, but He simply did it and gave us this gift of life. To exist, to be. And what's more, He made us to bear His image, in His image and likeness. Now, what does this mean? It means that when Adam was made out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into him the breath of life, that he had the law of God written on his heart, and that he followed this law. He lived according to God's commands. He was made without sin. God did not make a corrupt human being who was selfish and self-centered and wanted just what he could have for himself. But He made man righteous, obeying the law of God. And this is a gift. It is a gift to be without sin, to be righteous, and without sin. And it also meant then, if we were without sin, then we were without death. Adam and Eve were not made to die. We were not made to have disease and suffering and death, but rather to live, and to live with God in perfect harmony. We were made in God's image, and this is a good and blessed and wonderful gift. And God entrusted man with other gifts. He let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Man was given this responsibility to rule in the world, to have stewardship, dominion over creation, over animals. We were given a great trust to do this. Not trusted to other animals, but trusted to man. And God placed these animals, these living creatures, under our care. But the gifts continued. God not only made a male, not only made Adam, He also made Eve. He made them male and female in His image. holy and righteous. He gave us this variety of a man and a woman, where one complements the other. Two who are both human beings but are distinct and different, but come together in a beautiful combination. Which brings us to our next gift. God gave man and woman, we see especially later on after our Old Testament reading in chapter 2, that they may become one flesh, that they may be united to one another. And this one flesh that comes from the union of a man and a woman is seen most tangibly, most visibly in the children that come. We're all the result of those unions that God has created. We can give thanks for mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers for generations before, and ultimately to a Lord who created this good order to create families and put people in families and give new life through this union of man and woman, two different human beings who are brought together for a lifelong union of one man and one woman until death they part. And in the meantime, God gives life through unions like this. And so we sit here today. God gave wonderful and beautiful gifts. And God gives more. To feed us, He provided every plant yielding seed. He gave us the food here in this world. We didn't have to make it ourselves, but He gave it there for us to take. And He planted a garden, and He put Adam and Eve in that garden, gave to them every tree, except for one, from which they could eat and be fed. God not only gave life, but He provided the means by which life was to be sustained, and by which there would be fruit. There would be more people who would be on the earth, who were to live in harmony with one another and with their Creator, with God. God gave us all of these gifts, and He kept giving them. And God, in these gifts, gave other gifts. He even pointed people forward through the creation of man and woman to the fact that His Son would come and would have as His bride the church, His people. You see, we learn in the New Testament that marriage, the marriage that God created back here at the beginning of the world, that the marriage, the union of man and woman, was to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. And so we see that even as God gives these gifts, He is giving a picture of a future gift that He's going to give. The greatest gift, the gift of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. God continued to give gifts over and over again. God gives gifts, and He who made us, who knitted us together in His mother's womb, in our mother's wombs, who designed us and knows the very hairs of our heads, He knows how to give good gifts to you. Those who give us gifts in this world may not always know us, and we may not always know how to give good gifts to others. But our Lord knows us intimately, and He knows how to continue to sustain us and to provide for us. He knows what is good for us. What is a good gift for you? Because He made you. He cares for you, and He loves you. But how do we know this? How do we know that we are to receive these blessings of God as good gifts, and that He really does know us, and He really cares about us? Especially now that we live in a sinful world, where we have corrupted the world with sin, and we live under the curse. We live where there is punishment for sin. How do we know that our God still loves us and cares about us? After all, there would be good reason for the Lord who gave us all of these wonderful gifts to set us aside and to say, "We're done. I'm done with you. no more gifts for you. Look at what you've done to all the good things that I have given. After all, Adam and Eve in the garden, who bore the image of God, who were without sin, who had communion with God and had all of these good things to eat in the garden, all of these trees, they decided to eat from the one tree that God had not given them. They decided to listen not to their Creator who gave them all of these good gifts, but they decided to listen to Satan, who said that God was wrong. Who said in response to God's command that if they ate, then they would die. In response to that, the devil simply contradicted the word and said, "You will not die." And held out to them some other thing, some other life, and said, "You'll be like God, knowing all things if you eat from this tree." He said that God had not given them what is good, that his gifts weren't good enough, but that there was something that God had withheld that was better than all of the good things that God had already given them. And said, "Take this instead." And instead of listening to the one who had given them all the things that were right there before their eyes, all the things that gave them life and happiness and health, instead of listening to the Lord who gave them these things in his word, they decided to listen to the word of Satan, who wanted them to rebel against God. They listened to his word, and they fell into sin and corruption, and we have followed along with them. We continue to say that perhaps something is better than the word of God, that something is better than what God has given, that his good gifts aren't good enough, that perhaps it's better to do something else on Sunday morning. Perhaps we say that it's better to find our hope and our comfort and our refuge in someone else or something else other than our Lord, that prayer isn't worthwhile, that we don't need to call on him, that first we need to call on someone else. We fail to trust in our Lord. We don't want to give up the things of this world and have only him. We want the things of this world. We come to fall in love with the things that the giver has given rather than the giver himself. We pervert the gifts in sometimes very specific ways. As I've said, our Lord gave marriage as the union between a man and a woman. And man has, not only now in our culture, but also in other times and places in the world, said, no, there must be some other way that would be better. And it said that perhaps we could have marriage between a man and a man, or and a woman and a woman. And that is not what God has given. It is not a good gift. And it does not produce the beautiful fruit from that union that our Lord has designed. It does not give the new life of children that God wants to give and has given through many unions of husband and wife. But we further take God's gift and say, I want something different, even in this area, and say, some people will say, let's not be a man or a woman that we have, what we have been made, and how God has designed us, but rather let's be something else. Men wanting to be women and women wanting to be men. This is contrary to God's design. It is not what God has given. But it is not the only sin that we fall into. We fall into sin whenever we reject God's gifts and say there must be something better, some other way of living, that appeals to my reason, that appeals to my desires. And when, in whatever way we've said the word of God, what God has given, God's gifts are not good enough, we want something different. In whatever way we've done that, we have sinned. And we all, in whatever way we've done that, we all need God's forgiveness. It isn't just that we can look at someone else's perversion of God's gifts and say, they're the real problem, and focus only on their sin. We have to look at ourselves and see the ways in which we've said to God's gifts, they aren't good enough. I don't trust this giver. I want someone else to give me something different. And that is sin. And we know, coming back to our earlier question, we know that our Lord loves us. Because in the face of all of this sin, in the face of this unbelief, this rejection of His gifts, our Lord has given the greatest gift of all. That our Lord came into this world to suffer with us the effects of living in this world. He came into this human flesh to hunger and to thirst and to be tempted by Satan, and to do it all without sin in our place. And then to go to the cross and to suffer death on the cross to be punished for our sin. To have Himself suffer, and to be even separated from the Father, to suffer what we deserve to suffer forever, to have all of these things taken from Him so that we might be given all good things. This is a gift. We are being given something we didn't deserve and we didn't earn because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now, because of that, our Lord comes to us in this place and in churches around the world to keep giving gifts. He didn't stop at creation and He didn't stop with Jesus. He gives the fruit of His cross out again and again, and He gives it out today as He gives us the forgiveness of our sins. And He gives us the very body and blood that was shed on the cross to pay for your sins. And so whatever sin you come here today, with burdening your mind and your conscience, whatever troubles you, in whatever way you have failed to use all the good things that God has given you, whatever regrets you have, you come and you lay those down here at the foot of the cross, and you receive our Lord's forgiveness, because our Lord wants to keep giving gifts. And He wants to keep giving gifts to sinners like us. We don't come with a resume of all the ways in which we've used God's gifts and say, we've done it right, God. But we come saying, we need your gift of forgiveness because we have failed to trust you. And our Lord keeps giving His gifts. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.